We are at the very bottom of Lamed Aleph on the Beis. We're up to the third chapter. Says the Mishnah, Kol HaPsulim, all those who are disqualified for service. But Sheshachtu, if they slaughtered, Shkitasim Ksheira, the slaughtering would be a kosher act of slaughter of a karban. Shashchita, because slaughter, Ksheira is okay, Bizarim, with non-Kohanim, Uvinashim, and with women, Ubavadim, and with slaves, Ubitmeim, and with those who are impure. That's what it sounds like. It says, if they slaughtered, it's kosher. It sounds like it's only if it was done, not that they should, in the first instance, choose to do that. Rashi says here the tmeim that it's referring to is someone who touched a sheretz, touched a dead rodent. He himself is not an avatuma. He wouldn't have the ability to make the vessel that he's touching, the knife, impure. Afilu bekadshei kadshim. Now this is even true with karbanos that are the holiest of holies. Let's say a karban chatas, a karban ola. These are karbanos that are slaughtered in the north. And even so, a woman, a non-kohen, or a tameh would be allowed to do the slaughtering. Ubelvad, however, as long as lo yutmeim nogim abasar, has to be that if a tameh person slaughters, the tameh person has to be careful not to later touch the meat, because if he touches the meat, he would make it impure. Now, since all these people are allowed to slaughter, lefichach, therefore, heim posam b'machshava, this is the question that Paul brought up yesterday, if a non-suitable person has a wrong thought in the act of slaughter, it'll create a problem. It can create pigul, it can create psul, because since he is okay for the act of slaughter, that's why it could create a problem with his thoughts. V'chulan, says the Mishnah, now all these psulin, shekiblu es hadam, if they catch the blood, let's say a non-kohen catches the blood, a kohen tameh catches the blood, a woman catches the blood, with the thought, chutz lezmano, that we're going to eat meat of this karban out of time, or chutz l'mkomo, we're going to eat meat of this karban out of place. So that doesn't do anything, because since they are not worthy for this service, so their thoughts during this service don't create pigul or pasul. Therefore, im yesh dam ha-nefesh, if there's still blood of the life in the neck of the animal, yavzer akasher v'yakabel, let a kosher kohen go catch that blood, walk it over to the temple, and offer it with the right intentions. I remember last time we saw this quoted, Yosef asked, but you're supposed to catch all of the blood of the nefesh, so how could there be any blood left? So I saw yesterday that the Rishonim say it's only lechatchila that you should catch all of the blood of the nefesh. But b'di'eved, even if you didn't catch all of the blood of the nefesh, the karban is still kosher. So if you had not caught all the blood of the nefesh, and there's still blood of the nefesh there to be re-caught, so let a kohen step in and do it. Because what was done here by the non-kohen doesn't ruin the karban. It certainly didn't make the karban kosher, but it didn't ruin the car, but a Kohen Kusher can step in, grab the remaining Dama Nefesh, and now offer it in the right way. What happens if Kibel HaKusher, a Kohen Kusher, caught the blood, and then, instead of having a wrong thought, Natan LaPasel, he handed it to a Kohen who's not Kusher, a Kohen who's Tameh, or he handed the basin to a woman, or he handed the basin to a non-kohen. Does that make the karban pasul? No. Yachzul ha-kasher, to just be handed back to the kasher and let him continue on with the service. Ki bil b'yamino. Let's say the kohen kasher caught the blood with his right hand, the way he should. But then, v'nasan l'smolo. Then he handed the basin with the blood to his left hand. Yachzul li'yamino. He should just hand it back to his right hand. Ki bil b'kli kodesh. Let's say the blood was caught in a holy vessel. And then, v'nasam l'kleichol, then he poured it into an unholy vessel. Does it disqualify the carbon? No. Yazu l'kli kodesh, just return it to the holy vessel and go on with the service. Nishbach min akli ala ritzva. Let's say the blood went from the neck of the animal into a holy vessel, then it spilled from the holy vessel onto the floor. Vasafo, and then he gathers it back from the floor, back into the utensil. Kosher, it is kosher. Nasna al gabi akevesh. Let's say he put the blood on the wrong spot. He put it somewhere on the ramp instead of where it should be, on the right, on the corners of the Mizbeach. Or he put it on the wall of the Mizbeach, shelo keneged ha-yesod, but that part of the Mizbeach that doesn't have a base. There is a base to the Mizbeach called the Yesod, the foundation, but it doesn't go around all four sides. On two sides, there's only an amma of it. So he put it on the wall of the Mizbeach where there's no Yesod underneath that part of the wall. Nasan es hanitanin lamata. Let's say it was a karban where the blood is supposed to be put underneath the chut hasikra, the red strap. And he put the blood lamalan on top. Or es hanitanin lamalan, he put blood that should have been on top, lamata, below the strap. Or es hanitanin bifnim, blood that should have gone inside the heichal onto the golden altar. He put it bachutz on the outer altar, the copper altar that was outside. Etanitanim bachutz bifnim. He put the blood that should have gone outside, he put it inside. So in all of these cases, it didn't work, but it doesn't make the carbon pasul. Im yesh dama nefesh, if there's still blood in the neck of the animal, well, of life, yachzor hakasher v'yakabel, let a kosher kohen catch the blood and redo the service.
All right, so can we verify the second man said chulan shkiblu et adam, which chulan, before we spoke about
Kolapsulim.
Must be kohanim, because that's Kabbalat Adam.
Right, so if a non-kohen did it, so the thoughts are not going to create pigel. Because since the person's not ra'ui la'avodah, it's not karev.
Because that's one of the avodot. Kabbalat Adam is one of the four.
Right. So since it's a non-kohen doing that avodah, so he's not ra'ui la'avodah hahu. So since he's not ra'ui, his thought of chutz l'zmano does not create pigel.
So in some ways, according to this, thought is more important than actions. Thought is wrong, it's
bigger,
but if actions are wrong, it can still be fixed by action.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That's true. But thought, again, as we've said many times, thought here means a declaration. It's not just the thought. It's saying that he's going to do it. All right, so the first point that the Gemara makes is the point that Izzy made, which is that the Mishnah began by saying, Kol ha'psulin she'shachtu shchitatan k'sheira. All the disqualified personalities who actually slaughter, the slaughtering is kosher. Says the Gemara, Shachtu, if they slaughtered. It sounds like diavad, if it was done in, then it's okay. It's yes, it's accepted. But lechat chila, but as a first choice, lo. Sounds like you can't go to a woman and say to her, why don't you go slaughter? Or mini, but I'll challenge you, we learned. The verse says, "V'shachar es ben abakar lifnei Hashem, v'ikrivu bnei Aaron hakohanim es hadam bezarku es hadam alam esbeach saviv asher pesach ol moed." So the verse seems to say he will slaughter the calf, and then when do you need kohanim? V'ikrivu bnei Aaron hakohanim es hadam. The sons of Aaron the kohanim will bring the blood close, implying you don't need kohanim for the slaughtering. If you would need the kohanim for the slaughtering, it should have said v'shachar hakohen. V'ikriv ha-kohen. But it says, it only starts mentioning kohanim with the ha-krivu, with the bringing of the blood. So I'll challenge you. How could you say that bidi eved, you could have a non-kohen or a mini? I'll challenge you. We learned the verse as v'shachat, not saying the kohen, just as v'shachat. So that's a shchita bizarre k'sheira. That means a shchita, the slaughtering can be with a non-kohen. And the Brisa says, Shashchita ksheira bizar muvanashma uvavadim uvitmeim. Shchita is kosher with non-Kohanim, with women, even with non-Jews, an Eved, and a Tamei, a person who's Tamei. Vafilu bekadshei kachim. And this is even true with those karbanos that have to be slaughtered in the northern part of the Azara. Oeinu ela bekohanim. So you might say, maybe not. Maybe the Kohanim need to do the slaughtering. Amrit, so take a look. V'chimeayin basa michlal. Shenemar v'ato v'anecha itach tishmu resku naschem l'chol dvar mizbeach. The verse had said that you, Aaron, and your children have to watch your kahuna for the matters of the Mizbeach. Yachol af b'shchita. Maybe even the slaughtering has to be with Kohanim. That's what the Pasuk says. The Shachar es ben abakar lefnei Hashem. He will slaughter the calf before God. V'yikrivu b'nei Aaron ha-Kohanim es Adam. And the sons of Aaron the Kohanim will bring close the blood, which is saying, mikabala ve'eluch mitzvos kahuna. Only once they catch the blood and they're bringing the blood close, that's when you need to have Kohanim. Limit ala shchita shekshir b'chol adam. So that's telling you that the shchita is not the Kohanim. The shchita can be done by anyone. So the Gemara says, you're right. Why does the Mishnah, the Gemara has a question. The Mishnah says, all the psulim who shechted, it's okay. Sounds like it shouldn't be done, but b'dieved, if it was done, it's okay. What do you mean it shouldn't be done? They could even do it in the first instance. The obligation of Kohanim only starts with the catching of the blood, not with the slaughtering. Right. So the answer is the Gemara, Hu Adin, really, you're right. I feel chatchila nami. Even in the first instance, non-Kohanim can do the slaughtering. However, Mishum de Kaboyim is Tzmeim, because one of those that are being listed here, that we're saying they can do it, are Tzmeim. So with the Tzmeim, even though Midoraisa, on a biblical level, they could do the slaughtering, Midrabban on a rabbinic level, they said they shouldn't do the slaughtering. The Lechatchila lo, Lechatchila as the first instance, they shouldn't do it. Midrabbanan, Gzeir Hashem Yigu B'basar. Because if a guy is tummy and he's involved with the karban, maybe he's going to touch the meat of the karban after he slaughters it. And then he's going to make that meat tummy. You know, let him make karban as tummy. So that's why Tana, that's what he said in the Braisa, Sheshachtu. All these people who did shech, b'dieved, it would work. But Lechatchila, they shouldn't. So the Gemara says, really? V'tamei di'eved shapir dami. Is this law of the Mishnah right? That if a tamei b'di'eved slaughters, the slaughtering worked and the carbon would be a kosher carbon? Is that true? Or mini, but what about a braisa? The Torah says, v'samach yado al rosh ha'olav, and yir tzalo l'chaper alav, he is to lean on the heads of the olah, and that will thereby cause atonement for him, for the owner of the olah. And then it says, the shachar es ben abakar, and he will slaughter the sheep. So it links smicha, leaning, to shechita. So mas smicha b'tahorim, it's telling you, just like the leaning has to be done by the tahorim, is the braisa, af shechita b'tahorim. So to the slaughtering has to be done by tahorim. So this is a braisa interpreting a verse. That's seemingly saying that, the verse is saying, that the shechita has to be with tahorim. So it's not just the lechatchila. It's even b'dieved, it has to be by the tahorim. So Gemara says, no, this is not really an interpretation. Tumeyim midorais are allowed to slaughter. And what we're saying here is midorabanan. Midorabanan the tumeyim, as we were saying before, midorabanan the tumeyim shouldn't slaughter because they might make the meat tameh. It was a verse. The verse is just an asmachta. Sometimes a verse is not really taken literally. It's just a way that the rabbis teach you something, a way for you to remember it. But not really, it's only a rabbinic law. What's the question, Roger? That's what it sounds like.
Mea? Yeah.
Well, so you know, someone was a woman afterwards. But
yeah.
I mean, that's what she did. Not that she can.
Yeah,
it, right.
If it was done, it would be kasher.
Okay, but it's not the best.
Yeah. So now the Gemara asks, going back to this Braisa. So you're saying it's an asmachta, but still. So Maishna Smicha, why was it more obvious to you that the leaning should be done by Torah? Dechsev, because the verse says, Lifnei Hashem, before God. In other words, in the Azara. And Tmeim can't be in the Azara. But Shechita Nami Yoksev Lifnei Hashem. In terms of slaughtering, also it says before God. So of course the Tmeim can't do that. So I said, no, the reason why we thought a Tamei could do it, even Lechatchila, is Efshe David Sakin Arucha V'Shachit, because maybe he's standing outside of the Azara, and he makes a really long knife. And with this really long knife, he does the act of slaughtering. So Gemara says, maybe he's got really long arms. Smichanami. So then even in regards to leaning on it, after the mile, yada v'samach, maybe he's standing outside the azar and he has really long arms and he's leaning. How do you know that the smicha is not going to be done by tzmeyin? So the Gemara says, that wouldn't help you. If the guy's tamei to put his really long arms into the azara would not mean that he could do that, because the Tana of the Braisa holds, via b'miktzah shma bia, that even if only part of the body goes into the azara, it's already a problem. That, so in regards to shchita, that we would have thought was different, because shchita, the knife is not the body. But the arms of a person leaning on the animal is the body, so it's part of the body going into the azara. Yes. Yeah, but you didn't need that. That was just to help you. Again, there was only. It was not a bidyavit. No. Rav Chisda Masni Ibcha. Rav Chisda's version of this braisa was the opposite. The pasuk says v'samach. The next pasuk says v'shachar. He will lean. The next pasuk says he will slaughter. So what's the connection between v'samach and v'shachat? It's to say like this, mashchita b'tahorim, just like the slaughtering clearly needs to be with tahorim, afsmicha b'tahorim. So to the leaning has to be with people who are tahor. So maish mashchita, so what's it, so why is it more clear to you that shchita should be done with those who are tahor? Chziv l'fnei Hashem, it says in regards to the shchita that's done in the azar, before God. But the leaning also, it says, is done before God. So he would say, no, the reason why we would have thought that you could do the smicha even with the tmeim lechatchila, because he would have thought that after the mile yada v'samach, maybe he's got very long arms and he puts his hands in and he leans even though he's standing outside. So one second, then shchita nami, then even the slaughtering you should have thought, after David sakin arucha v'shachim, maybe he'll make a very long knife and he'll slaughter. So the Gemara says, no, this Brisa would have rejected that based on another source. Hamani, who's this Brisa? Shimon HaTimani, it's Shimon from Shimon HaTimni, Shimon from Timna. The Tanya was written in a Brisa. According to the Tanakhama, the verse says, V'shachar es ben habakar lefnei Hashem. He will slaughter the animal that is before God. So the animal is before God. V'lo hashochar lefnei Hashem. But the slaughterer doesn't have to be before God. He doesn't have to be in the Azara. Shimna Tzemini Omer, no. Minayin Shi Yadav Shal Shochet Lefnim Ina Neshchat. How do we know that the hands of the Shochet, namely the Shochet, has to be past the animal? It has to be before God. Tamal Omer, that's what it says. V'shachar Es Ben HaBakar Lefnei Hashem. And he will slaughter the calf before God. Shochet Es Ben HaBakar, the slaughterer of the calf, Yehei Lifnei Hashem, has to be standing before God. So, since the slaughter has to be before God, that's why he has to be in the Azara. If he has to be in the Azara, it was more obvious that he has to be Tzar. That's why this version of the Brisa was the other way. We learned from Shochet, just like the Shochet who's in the Azara is clearly Tzar, the Somech, the one leaning on the animal, also should be clearly Tzar. This is all, but again, this is only L'chadchila. As we learned in our Mishnah, Bidi-Eved, we could do it even if he's Tameh. I mean, except for Shimon HaTemni. He would
right,
say
it sounds like it's talking about our Mishnah, right?
Right. Shimon HaTemni would say that even Bidi-Eved, you can't do it.
And Rabbi Saham is a move that would not be relevant?
Like yeah, he could slaughter, yeah. He could do the slaughtering. I think. All right, Amar Ula. Ula said, Amar Eish Lakish, the name of Eish Lakish, going into this issue of a Tame person entering the temple partially. Tame Sheikhnis Yadol Ifnim. If a Tame person just puts his hand into the Azara, Loke, he already violates the prohibition, and he gets lashes. And Amar, the verse says, Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga. In all the sacred you shall not touch, Vela Mikdash Lo Tavo, and to the sanctuary you shall not come, Ad Melos Yemei Tzahara, until you have the complete term of purification. So the verse links touching, Negia, to Bia, to coming. So Makish Bia L'Negia, there's a linkage here between the coming and the touching. Ma Negia B'Miktzas, just like touching even partially. Shema Negia is considered a touch, right? When he, in regards to touching a karban, even if he only touched it partially, he doesn't have to touch it with every part of his body. Just part of his body touches a karban, he would make the karban tameh. So then the pasuk links that to the entrance. So af bia b'mikdash, even if only part of the body enters the mikdash when he's tameh, shema bia, that's considered an entrance, which can create an obligation of lashes. So this is the view of Ula in the name of Reish Lakish. Bia b'miktzah, shma bia. Partial entry is considered an entry to get lashes. Eisvei Rav Hoshaya l'Ula. Rav Hoshaya challenged Ula. We know that when someone has tzaras, on the eighth day of his purification process, he has to bring karbanos. And part of that service is that he stands in Sha'ar Nicanor, in the Nicanor gate, and he has put on his thumbs from the blood of the Asham, from the log of the oil, and it's also put on his ear. So you have a Mitzora whose finger is inside the Mikdash. He's a Tameh, his finger in the Mikdash. Now, Mitzora, we learned in the Braisa, a Mitzora, Shachal Shmini Shalom, let's say the eighth day of his, and he's supposed to go into the Beis HaMikdash and put his fingers into the Azara to get the blood and the oil on them. And his eighth day was Lios Be'erev Pesach, was on Erev Pesach. And in addition, Vira Keri Bo Bayom, on that day he had a discharge of semen, he became a Baal Keri, the Tavel, so he went to the Mikvah. Amru Chacham, the sages say, Afa Pish ain't full yom acher nichnas, even though generally someone who had a discharge of semen and went to the mikvah, still not allowed to go into the temple, to the Temple Mount. He can't even go onto the Temple Mount. He has to wait till the sun sets to go onto the Temple Mount. So even though that's the case, this one, Zeh Nichnas, this one is going to be allowed to go onto the Temple Mount and even allowed to put his fingers into the Azara so that he can become pure from his Tzara, so that that night he'll be able to eat Karban Pesach. Because if he's Tameh, he can't eat Karban Pesach. He can't eat that which is holy. Mutav Yavo Asei. Because better let the mitzvah Asei of eating Karban Pesach. Sheyesh Bo Kares. If you don't do Karban Pesach, there's a punishment of Karis for the Asei. That should come. The Yidche Asei, and that should overrule the Asei of sending out of the camp the Tmeim. The Yidche Asei, it should overrule the Asei of sending out of the camp somebody who's a Tamei, Shein Bo Karis, because that's an Asei that doesn't carry with it a punishment of Karis. Well, that's a good point. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, so Rabbi Yochanan says, Dvar Torah, Nido Raisa, if somebody had had a discharge of semen and went to the mikvah, Afilu Asei Einbo. There's not even a mitzvah Asei saying that he can't be on the Temple Mount. Shanehamar, because the verse says, Vayamod Yoshafat Bikahal Yudav Yushalayim Beveis Hashem. Yoshafat stood amongst the community of Judea, in Jerusalem, in the house of God, before the new courtyard. I'm talking about the Temple Mount. My Chatzar HaChadasha, what made the courtyard new in the days of Yehoshaphat? Amar Rabbi Yochan explained, Shechidshu Badvarim. They made new laws in the days of Yehoshaphat. V'amru, one of their new laws was, Tful Yom Al Yikanis L'machna Leviyah. That a person who had a discharge of semen and went to the mikvah, but the sun hasn't set on him yet, he cannot go into the Temple Mount. So this was a new rabbinic law. It was a rabbinic law in the days of Yehoshaphat. So since it's a rabbinic law in the days of Yehoshaphat, so therefore, for the sake of enabling someone to eat Karban Pesach, they wouldn't make this law, they would waive their law. So for the sake of him being able to go in, to be able to have the liquids placed on him, to become pure from his tzaras, therefore he's allowed to do so.
Rabbi, the discharge of semen, even with regular intercourse with the wife?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So now, Now, if you're going to tell me that even putting part of the body into the sacred realm is considered an entrance, it's considered as if the whole body went into the sacred realm. How could the Mitzora, who has had a discharge of semen and gone to the mikvah, put his thumb of his hand, the thumb of his toes, his earlobe, how could he put it into the Azara? Then we're talking about an assay that has a karis penalty. The assay of Pesach has a karis penalty, but the assay of a tame entering the Azara is also a karis penalty. Amar le, so listed back to Rav Hoshea, mitunach. Well, I'll respond to you from your very source. We're talking about a mitzora. Shani mitzora. Since he's a mitzora, mitzora himself is tame. So how does the Torah allow the mitzora who's tame to put his thumbs into the Azara? He's a mitzora, he's tame. How can he put his thumbs into the Azara? The answer is, but that's the system Hashem made. Hashem is the one who says, don't go into the Azara when you're tame. And Hashem says explicitly that a mitzora puts his thumbs into the Azara. So the law that a tame can't go into the Azara was never said about Tumas Mitzora as part of his purification. Then it's permitted. It's called Tumah Hutra. Tumah is permitted in such a case. So Shani Mitzora. So since the Mitzora is different, Ho'avu Hutra Litzarato, in regards to Tumas Tzaras, it's permitted. Therefore, since it was permitted in regards to Tumas Tzaras, Huta Lekirio, if he has another Tum on him, Tumas Keri, that also becomes permitted for the sake of purification, to enable him to become pure.
Rabbi, how do we purify the Asara, the Mishveah?
Can't. First of all, these things themselves don't become impure. Because what's connected to the ground doesn't become impure. The person who's walking in is doing the problem.
So, but when he walks out, then it's not a problem anymore.
Yeah. It's not that he defiles the temple. He's not allowed to go into the temple. So this is an amazing idea. The idea of Ula is when the Torah permits one prohibition for the sake of a particular goal, if there's another prohibition that it shows up, the Torah will permit that too for the sake of this goal. That's a very interesting idea. So Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said, Kasavar Ula. So you see, apparently, that Rav Yosef said, Ula holds that when the law is that if most of the Jews are Tame on Erev Pesach, so then we allow, if they're Tame or Tumas Meis, we allow them to bring the carbon anyway. So we should say the following. Ruban Zavin, let's say most of the Jews had discharges, semen, gonorrhea, then Vinasu Tmei Meis. Then they all went to a funeral under one big tent, so they all became Tmei Meis too. So you should say, Ho'ov Uchlu Tumas San, since the Tumas Meis is going to be waived, Uchlu Zivasan. Now they should also be able to bring the carbon, even though they have a Tumah of a discharge from the body. So Amar Le, Abayas said to Rav Yosef, Midami, that is not comparable. When we talk about Mitzora, we're starting with Mitzora. But here, we're starting with Tumas discharge. So here, when you start with the Tumah of a discharge, and then you add in a Tumas Meis. Tumah Ishtaroi, so Tumas Meis, yes, gets waived. But Ziva Lo Ishtaroi, the Tumah of a discharge never gets waived. So Amar Le, Sabai said to Rav Yosef, maybe what you meant was like this. This is what you meant. Ruban Tmei Meis. Let's say the majority of the Jews were first Tamei Meis. So then we're saying they can go ahead and bring their carbon. Vinasu Zavin, and then they become Tame with discharges. Ho Vuhuchulu Tumas and Huchulu Zivasan, are you gonna say since they are Tame, since the impurity of mace is permitted, the impurity of discharge is also permitted? Amalais, he said, in. Exactly, that's what I would say. Zabai said, I don't like that. Akati lo dami. I don't think it's comparable. Mitzora heterahu. A mitzora is Tame. But Hashem says that the Tamei Mitzora should put his fingers into the Azara. So there Hashem is saying that there is no law of Tumah for the Metzora. To make him pure, there is no law of Tumah. So then you say, once Hashem creates such a big permission, Hoel Vishtari Ishtari, once he creates a big permission for Tumah, he creates big permission for other types of Tumah. But when the nation is Tamei Meis, and we say that they can still bring a Karban Pesach, that's Tumah Dechuyahi. That's not that Hashem is waiving the law of Tumah. It's that Hashem is, he really doesn't want people who are Tamei in the temple. He doesn't want Tamei people to be bringing Karbanos. Since so many people are Tameh, it's so hard. So he allows it. The Tumah gets pushed aside. Tchuyahi. So if that's the case, Lahayitzchai, maybe it only gets pushed aside in regards to Tumas Meis. Laha, but in terms of a Tumah Yotzis Migufo, a Tumah that comes out of the body, a discharge, Lahayitzchai, doesn't get pushed aside. So that's the view of Abaye. Amrale Rava, Rava said to Abaye, I think the opposite makes sense. Adraba. Ibcha Mistabra. If Mitzora, he can put his fingers in, Heterahu, because Hashem doesn't make the prohibition of Tzaras, didn't have the prohibition of Tumas Mitzora going into the temple when it's needed for his purity. So maybe, Laha Yishtarai, for this God permitted, Laha Lo Yishtarai, but he's not going to permit, carry. But Tumah Duchuyahu, but once Hashem is pushing aside Tumas Meis, what do we care if it's pushing aside one thing or pushing aside two things? Anyway, but through this conversation, we come up with an interesting point. Michlau, what we see, the Tarvayu Sfirlu, both Abaye and Rav are of the opinion that this law, that when the majority of the nation is Tamei Meis, we bring the Karban Pesach, it's not that it's totally permitted, it's that Tumah Dechuyahi B'tzibur, it's that Tumah is just pushed aside when the community is Tameh. But it's not Huchra. It's not that Tumah is totally permitted. It's just that it's pushed aside. It's pushed aside. Okay, what can I do? You have to push it aside.
You have
to go back to being Tameh? Yes, for sure. That's for sure. Rabbi Hananya ben Akashi Omer, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu, Zakos to Israel, Lefich Achir B'lehem Toro Mitzvah, Shenem Radinei Chafetz Laman Tziko, Yagdil, Torah, Yadir.